All right, beautiful people. Thank you for joining NateMax TV, Innate Awareness, and NateMax Human Alliance. I've got a beautiful fellow on today called Harry Box. This guy's an investigative journalist. And personally, I feel this guy's got a set of nuts the size of a raging bull, because he's been talking absolute truths for many, many years. And what I see and what I notice in journalism is that basically journalists aren't doing their jobs. There's only a few people who really are doing the job, pointing the finger at the right people, going beyond the 3D politics and looking into the bloodlines, into the people who are running the show, the banking systems, all these bigger ticket items. Now, this is frustrating because so many people are waking up and the mainstream news is so pathetic and so diluted at the moment, but we still have a generation of people that have drunk the Kool-Aid, they watch it, and they somewhat believe it. Now, we're heading into a time right now where every single country on the planet is caught in this COVID narrative, the scam, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, the Great Reset, Event 201, lockstep, you know, the financial change and shift which is happening. We're seeing billionaires making hundreds and hundreds of percent more profit every year because they're in the right industries, they know what to invest in, they've known this situation has been coming and they've been prepared for it. And now we're seeing the wiping out of the middle class. We're seeing the small businesses are getting blocked because they're not apparently essential, and the COVID testing and all this stuff. There's so many things we could go about this topic, but ultimately what we're seeing right now is a global awakening. And in Australia right now, at this present time, this moment, 2:16 p.m. in Australia, we have Australia's biggest protest ever in history. And this is in every state. We are seeing seas and seas of people. I mean, only 2 weeks ago, it was 100,000 people who were protesting in Melbourne. For Australia, that's like millions of people in another country, because we've been very complacent here. We're very laid back. We've had a bit of a silver spoon. And people haven't really been through tyranny to understand what it smells like. Where other countries, they've been through it, and they get a single whiff of tyranny and they protest, they hit the streets, they block it, and they're in an uproar. Now, Australians have not had that type of treatment before, so this is kind of new. So it's knocking people out of the Stockholm syndrome. People losing their jobs. They're losing their freedoms, their rights to travel, their rights to go around. They want you to sign in a QR code, get a vaccine passport. All this ridiculous shit, apparently, for health. And obviously, we know it's got really nothing to do with health. It's got to do with money. It's got to do with control, and it's got to do with tracking. Now, Harry, how are things going in America and New York at the moment from your perception? And what do you feel that we should be doing at this point in time now that there is an uprising all around the world? What do you feel is the most important thing we should be doing? And from your perspective, what are you seeing behind the scenes? What do you think the next kind of play and plan is going to be? Is there going to be a new virus rolling out? Give us a bit of a rundown, your perspective.
Okay, those are three questions. Well, the three questions is what is what's happening in New York. The other one is what should we be doing? I think we're talking about what you guys should be doing at this present time. Yeah, what's happening in the United States is that, every day we see certain revelations appearing about the culpability of key individuals that were the key focuses and the key operators of this scandemic. So we have this Fauci getting increasingly under fire. We see Peter Daszak guy from Echo Health Alliance, and we see this Ralph Barrett guy, who these were the designers and the facilitators of this. And we're getting more and more information, mostly because I've been proliferating a lot of it, specifically about the race specificity of this thing, that it's specifically targeting the ACE2 receptors. And I don't want to get too complicated with people, because I know eyes roll behind people's heads once you start talking about this medical stuff. But basically, our tissues, our lining, our cells and stuff have particular receptors, about 270 of them in the human body, that can be entryways, viral entryways. And the one receptor that it just so happens to be the one that this spike protein, that's the knob on the edge of that ball called the virus, this particular one that it's targeting, specifically designed to target, it's known as the ACE2 receptor. Well, that's particularly proliferated in Caucasian populations and 0% in Ashkenazi Jews. And so this is science that has been published on the NIH website. So it's not like this is like fringe science. The science is in that it's a bioweapon. The science is in that it's a race-specific bioweapon. And when they designed it, the people who did so in the shadows specifically made sure that this was to reduce the non-Jewish populations, and in particular the white population. So I'm not some white nationalist. I don't care about this shit. I have nothing to do with any of this stuff. So this is not talking about white anything. Nope. This is the science that is coming in on this. Okay. So what's happening is as this comes out, we see the Jewish-controlled media circling the wagons around Daszak and Fauci, and you know, Disney just did a special where Fauci is crying because he says he has PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Look, they're preparing a soft landing for Fauci, they think. And we have to make sure none of these motherfuckers get a soft landing. They need a hard landing. They need to go down, these people, because of what they tried to pull on our society on behalf of the bankers. Now, who's behind this? Who's doing this? I hear all these journalists, you know, on the right and the left, and these terms don't mean anything nowadays. And I'm starting to keep a list of all the various names, diversionary euphemistic names that they use instead of saying it's a fucking greasy Jew bankers, right? So I've heard, like, you know, it's the Marxists, you know, and then Alex Jones will say it's the globalists. And I heard a guest on Jones, because he knows that he can't say Jews, so he says it's the Bolsheviks. And another one, it's the Democrats, it's the liberals, it's the Chi-Coms, it's the Phoenicians. I've heard the Hittites, you know. Yeah. No, it's the Jewish banking cartels. Repeat after me. You know, I mean, you literally have to get up there with a freaking highway banner and just say, look, it's the old money that's been around since the Middle Ages, actually since before the Middle Ages. Martin Luther, in his book, The Jews and Their Lies, right? And again, I'm not a religious person. I'm not a Christian. So when I talk about the various religions, from the perspective of another religion, that doesn't mean I'm endorsing any of it. No, I'm out there all alone, out there by myself, looking at it and saying, okay, well, you know, this is easy to see here. And Martin Luther in this book said, be careful. These Jews will want to accumulate the money. This is 1543, right? They want to get all the money, the land, and the gold, and be careful for their medical, because they're going to poison us. This is back in 1400s. Okay. So that's what's happening here. Now, and so it's anybody's guess whether we will have people on the inside that are going to leak more information about these Faucis, these Daszaks. If they're, I'm pushing the FBI. I'm going to go down and threaten the guy to get a fist fight with the guy, the head of the FBI, Chris Wray. If he doesn't do something, I want to call him out to the parking lot and say, oh, let's deal with this like men. I'll fucking kick your teeth in. If you don't get do your job and start going after these people, then let's go fist to fist, motherfucker. Right. But I'd rather first get a bullhorn this guy and say, you do your fucking job, you cowardly piece of shit. But anyways.
Yes.
So we see pieces emerge that look like, you know, they're going to get ready to sacrifice some people, throw them under the bus, maybe as a way to take pressure off. Right. But I wouldn't advise anybody going along with it, because sometimes they'll give you a few sacrificial lambs and then you'll be satisfied. No, we're not going to be satisfied until every single person, Dan Andrews in particular, must pay. Dan Andrews better pay. And the fact that I even know who this piece of shit is a testament to the corruption. Because if you asked me a year and a half ago, who the fuck is in charge of anything in Australia? I don't know. Everybody knows who these people are now, because these are the most corrupt motherfuckers on the planet. So unrelenting pressure. And that includes banner drops, highway signs, picket signs, whatever you have. And I don't rule out the acts that are more excessive than what some advocates say that, oh, it must be peaceful. I don't know about that. I don't see any empirical basis why carefully planned, acts that are beyond what we would consider to be peaceful might be in order here. Because look, the bottom line is, you could say, we're absolutely nonviolent. You could have that on, then put that on your gravestone. Yeah, with your kids, you know, because that they're coming after your kids, you know. And so, what good is nonviolence if the end result is you're dead? You know, I'd rather kill these people. But whatever, these are my opinions, and I know that you guys might get in trouble. So these are my opinions, and my opinions only.
Well, I personally feel what you said just then. It's like, why do we not see people being poisoned off as violence anyway? It's what's okay to inject someone with soft kill, but it's not okay to knock someone's teeth out. This person's going to die. This person's got punched in the head. You know, what is the difference between the two? The fact is that the awareness around what these vaccines is like, it's just a vaccine. Like people, a lot of people aren't there to understanding that this is actually a death shot. This is a soft kill. This is a slow process of the degeneration of the human being. It's a degeneration of the DNA, the mitochondria, the stomach, the immune system, the T cells. Like, this is the most violent attack ever we've had, but it's a silent attack with a secret weapon. That's the only difference. The awareness is not there, where if you shoot someone, that's a violent attack. But when you stab someone with a vaccine, because the government said so, it seems like whenever the government says anything, oh, that's okay because the government says it. But if it was the cartels or the mafia was trying to come around and inject everyone, or the cartels in Mexico, the whole world would be in uproar. But seeing we have the government, the pharmaceutical industry, and all the soft porn mind control that's been on the television, the radio for so many years, there's this feeling of Stockholm syndrome, which has been pervasive across the earth for so long in the mainstream news. But today in particular, the last few weeks, I've really felt this something stirring up. Now, I don't know if we're in the calm before the storm, because a lot of people are saying military are in Queensland at the moment. They're about to pull a plan B, which is going to be the Warburg virus or smallpox or some bullshit like that, you know. But what I do know is that there is a massive uprising in the heart and the soul of people. I can see it in people's eyes. I can see people who were asleep before and questioned a lot of my works. I've been doing this for 10 years. Now they're messaging. Now they're watching my live feeds. Even though my Telegram, Instagram got deleted 2 mornings ago. Facebook got deleted 6 months ago. But I'm seeing people who weren't awake now coming onto the feeds. I'm seeing people asking questions who I thought to myself, if that person ever wakes up, we're on the home run. And I think I've been saying that for many years now. If that person wakes up, I think we're on the home run. So do you feel there's a mass awakening happening, or do you feel like we've got a big game in front of us?
That's a good question. I think there is an awakening. I've always questioned how many what the numbers were in terms of the split in our society between those who were clued into this and those who were completely in the blue. I believe that the ruling power structure had to give us a false impression that there was higher numbers of those people who were sleeping and Stockholm syndrome victims, right, than there actually were. I believe that. If you can convince society long enough that they're involved in this Stockholm condition, more and more will, of course, end up in that position. So it becomes a self-fulfilling. It's like push polling. If you can constantly release polls that says, look, everybody agrees that vaccines are safe, you know, more and more people will just fall prey to that kind of messaging. So it's uncertain. There's no accurate metrics. We all use the metrics that we have from our community, from our friends and stuff. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I still have some friends that are very much. I have a friend. He's a two-digit name. I'm not going to say his name. Is T. I'll use two different TJ. We'll call him TJ. He's very much on with the government. He believes what he gets sees on the TV. And he was a pretty intelligent guy. I used to think, right. Most of my family has got the shot. And except the nieces and nephew, I think hasn't got it, but my nieces, or at least one of them hasn't, but the rest of my family's got the shot. How much do they believe it, even though they're going along with it? Because there's levels of this. So some people will go along with it just because they've been told that it's the way to get back to normal and then participate in restaurant, go to a restaurant or something, like, which is just insane. It's like restaurants and baseball games are not that fucking important to me that I'm going to risk my blood. Yeah. It's insane. Here, that's the practicality argument, you know, and a lot of people are falling prey to that. So, you know, I think as they push it more, as people, they look in their bank accounts, I think that'll be the real, tipping point, is when they see their bank accounts start to diminish, when they see it's a little bit tougher to put food on the table and stuff, then you'll get more, you know, when they're eating out of garbage cans, maybe they'll finally say, hey, something's wrong. But, I don't know what the situation is. I have a friend in Australia early in the piece. She's in Sydney. Early in the piece, she was fully for this thing. Oh, the government's doing a good thing. I was like, no, it's these grimy two bankers that are pulling this shit on us. And it's pretty clearly easy to see. Oh, I don't go for that. The government is trying to protect me. You know? Now she's whistling a slightly different tune. So,
slightly different.
Yeah. She even said, though, it's not such... that bad. So, but it's bad, but not that bad, she said. You know, sure.
The funny thing is, people like think that it's not bad because we've been slaves the whole time we've been here on Earth. We've actually gotten used to our comfort slavery, our open air prison. You know, it's just been lately that I feel the veil has lifted and we're starting to realize how corrupt it is a lot more, as opposed to it's gotten worse. It's always been here, but now it seems like it's more blatantly obvious. And as you said, these Dan Andrew fucking scumbags, it feels like, because even Scott Morrison, which is our so-called prime minister, who's no one's actually running the country. The corporations are running the country at the moment, and some high-up military people. That's why everything that happens is very strategic. It's really militant the way they're doing things. They lock down the toughest areas in Sydney and New South Wales, the areas where all the Middle Eastern people live, a lot of Lebanese and Turkish and Greeks, Italians and Maltese, because they've been through this before. And I know all the boys from that area. A lot of those areas, and they're tough boys, you know, they train, it's a very affluent area. It's been growing. They all work together. They've been building houses together in the building industry. And that was definitely the toughest area in Sydney. So the first thing they did was lock down those areas and kept saying, oh, there's a virus in those areas. It just seems to be in those areas, but it was basically to break their spirit. It was so they couldn't get to the next suburb to congregate with other people to set up a plan, you know. And that's still going on now in those areas in Sydney. Since day one, they've really been locked down those areas. They hit Melbourne the hardest for some reason. And then they've let areas like the eastern suburbs, like Bondi Beach and all up the coast, they've let them pretty much just continue life normally to create the divide between the Middle Eastern races and the Australian races and all that. Because what I'm feeling myself, I live in a bubble. I'm in Byron Bay, and up here it's just been normal the whole entire time because everyone's awake up here. I mean, this is the most awake area in Australia, so you can get caught in a bit of a bubble and you need to get out and realize what's actually happening in other areas. But you become disconnected from the true reality of what's going on because just, you know, maybe 3 hours that way, these areas are completely on lockdown, but you're out there going to the beach and doing all normal stuff. So rather than everyone rising up together, when we're divided and separated like this, like, oh, this state goes into lockdown, then this one comes out, this one goes in, now that one, what it does, you kind of bide your time during these lockdowns rather than the whole country rising up together and going, fuck you, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, I'm actually okay now. My online business is okay. We're just going to toe the line. I hear all these really pathetic excuses, especially from fucking business owners. The business owners are the ones that are actually making this happen because they're like, oh, I don't want to get fined. Even though the fines don't hold up in court because they're illegal. So they're actually the ones perpetrating the Nazi-style Stalinist, you know, where are your papers, where's your vaccine passport, where's your mask? And it's like, motherfucker, there's 7 good years of research showing that masks do nothing. And like, oh, I'm just following the rules. I'm like, well, if someone told you to fucking jump off a bridge, would you just go jump off a bridge or would you decide whether you want to do it or not? So there's absolutely no common sense at the moment. And it's like the dis... memberment or the separation of different areas, and then that makes us disconnect from what people are going through, you know, because we're not all going through it together. So it feels very military. What would you say? It's like a military operation.
Yeah, I think that's the tactical, that's correct. What you're saying is what it is. They had to sort of carve up our societies into nice bite-sized chunks that they could deal with piece by piece. And it has really torn the mask off of our societies and revealed the elements of a societies for what they are. So you mentioned the business people. This is this bourgeois attitude that, you know, they want to just get along and go along. And, you know, the most important thing is getting up the ladder. I've always said that the biggest, you know, I never worried so much about the poor. I actually rather like the poor. And I don't even mind, not the ultra rich, but the rich are okay because they're just into their fetishes. They don't bug you. They're not a bunch of busybody douchebags, right? Actually, the problem is the middle class. It's the middle class that they're watching the television. They're doing what they're told. They're on their Facebooks. They're the ones that are, and I'm not the first person who's made this observation. They're trying to get up to the next level, most of the people in the middle class. Now, I'm middle class. I'm not poor. I'm not rich. I am middle class, but I don't have those values. And, of course, I think that part of this, I think the plan to get this thing to take root in our society is a very old plan. It involved decimating the human critical capability, and this has been going on for 40 years. The television, all this stuff, and so it's not, you know, the pieces of the puzzle you can see getting put in place over the last 40 years for this moment right now, and yes. COVID has torn the mask off and shown us what we are. And what are we? Well, we can see that half of the population is so alienated that they will sit there and scream in the street at you to get your mask on or to take your damn vax, you know. So we see that each society gets a chance to see that at least half of our society isn't worth shit. Isn't worth shit, because if they were able to pull this literally within 2 weeks, this whole thing got, you know, they pulled the plug on it. And this was like a 2 week process back in May or last year, April of last year. And they were able to take the whole kitty. So then what in the hell did we have? If it was that easy for them to do it, what the hell do we have here? So we're going to have a lot of soul searching to do, reevaluating about ourselves and our societies, our town, our neighbors, that's not a very positive outlook. And right now, since you guys have the momentum, probably now is not the time for self-reflection. Now's the time to get out in the street and fuck these people up. Not these idiots, but get the idiots on the train to fuck up the government. So I would say that at this time, all energy should not be focused on the past, but to be focused on the mission at hand, which is to get into the streets and win and beat these fuckers. Mm. And it can be done. But part of that, this struggle, because if we don't identify the problem, the core of the problem, they'll do it again. They'll do it with a whatever asteroid attack or a zombie apocalypse, whatever it is. They could say whatever it is. And, you know, so unless people, and I don't know how easy this is in Australia. I thought Australia had a lot of metal, a lot of toughness, right? So maybe you can start to get these ideas that, hey, look, we have to start boycotting these Jewish, this Jewish control of our society, because your television that has facilitated this, that's Jewish. This is all BlackRock and Vanguard has done all this. So unless people get an awareness of exactly what this is, they've never heard these names, BlackRock. They've never heard Vanguard. They don't know who Larry Fink is. This guy's the most powerful man in the world. He's more powerful than all of your politicians combined, and no one's ever heard of him. So we have our job. We have our work cut out.
Yeah, amazing. These hidden names above the top, everyone just talks about the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, and it's like, there's a whole bunch of names going on that are doing things behind the scenes because
Rothschild has
Rothschild
has basically renamed himself BlackRock and Vanguard, because when you try to look at the ownership of BlackRock and Vanguard, it's all private ownership that you're not allowed to find out who owns. Yes. And this is this old Jewish money looking for ways to get it out of the vaults and put it to use by investing it in these index funds. So it's a they call that non-active investing. It's when an index fund, you know what this is, where they just take that money and they put it right on the S&P 500 index. So you have a couple indexes. We have the S&P 500, which is just a list of 500 corporations that are sort of, that are supposed to be a fair, accurate representation of the health of a society. So it'll have like Apple, whatever, GE, weapons companies and health companies, whatever, 500 of them. Okay, and then so what the BlackRock and Vanguard do is they just take that money that the Rothschilds have and just plunk it right down on that index and equally divide it. And so what it is the Rothschilds then have an easy task instead of letting that money sit in a vault. They just have to manipulate the media, manipulate the society enough to be tricked into believing that this S&P 500 is going up. These poor bastards, like friends of mine, I know, they put their money in it. And sure enough, it starts going up and up and up. And then the Jews are going to just take it like they always do and fucking grab it up and take it all. And then you're going to see it go down. But the Jews will have taken their money out like they always do just minutes before it crashes. And this is what they've done. So when you say that that we all thought as Rothschilds, yes, that is true. That is exactly what it is. Mm. And they have just reinvented themselves, and now they're BlackRock and Vanguard and Rothschilds and all that stuff. So, but it's the same group.
Mm. Yeah, it's a little bit like Bill Gates was the front man for this and Fauci, and now they've kind of let him slip behind the scenes and they're just saying it's basically the United Nations, which is Rockefellers anyway, you know. They're just taking a face off, so it's a faceless army. So you don't really know who to attack or who to fight or who to do, because it's just like this. It's like saying, oh, Monsanto. It's like, well, fuck Monsanto. They're Bayer now anyway. But why don't we look at the shareholders? Why don't we look at the CEOs and personally fuck them up? Because they're the ones that deserve to be fucked up. They shouldn't be coming out in the restaurants. They shouldn't be hanging in the streets. They shouldn't be doing anything in society that we're doing, because they're the ones who are trying to kill us off, rather than blaming some company, which is literally an office full of chairs and tables and computers. There is no government. There is no Bayer. There is no nothing without the human beings who work there. So you've got to question yourself and ask yourself, what do you do for a job? How are you contributing to the mess which is going on right now? Now, a really simple thing that's happening in our local post office down the road, we have a couple of security guards that are out front of the post office making sure people sign in and shit like that. That's fucking annoying. Like, if I go to a festival and I'm going to go in their festival and maybe, I'll deal with the security guard. I'm going to go to a festival and have 5 hours of music and party. I can deal with that security guard. But when you go in the fucking post office and someone's standing there and they're actually hassling you, I always go to them. I go, bro, why do you do it? Just let people in. Just stand there and get paid and just don't be a dick. You know, and this guy was like joggling me for a while, and now he doesn't, because I've obviously smashed him with enough truth. But that's actually the big problem. Our own people are enslaving ourselves, and they like it because they feel good. It's like when you give a police officer, you know, who's a broken human being, there's good police officers out there, I'm not saying it's not, but a lot of police officers are fucking narcissists, and you give them a badge and they think they're better than you, and ultimately then you have the massive divide and they have no conscience to do with like morality. It's like, should I give this person a $3,000 fine for driving out of registration 10 minutes after midnight when he's 500 meters from his house on the way home? Or do I just let him fucking drive home and get his car registered tomorrow? You know what I mean? This moral standing thing has like somehow in some cases gone out the window. And this is the thing I'd like to say to people out there who are listening to this, because this video will get shared quite far, is you've got to ask yourself, your kids, your husband, your partner, your people at your work, your family, you've got to hit them up and be like, hey, what are you doing? If you know they're in those industries, if you know they're playing that card, this is a time where you earn your badge of honor. We're in World War III. This is a time where you cannot fence it. If you fucking die and the world goes down the drain, what are you going to say when you're laying on your deathbed? Oh, I just fucking waited for it to blow over, or I just grew vegetables in my fucking garden. If we all go out and just do a little bit each day, this ends. And I feel like it's about to end anyway. I feel like it's just held together by one tether, which is the Jewish bankers and the mainstream news. One piece of string is the mainstream news. Without that, we wouldn't even be here. If people were watching the fucking television, the tell-lie vision, like when you go to areas where there's no TV, everything's normal. People are just living. Yeah. It's only when you go to the cities and people have been drinking the Kool-Aid and they're so busily trying to be cool on their Instagrams and their Facebooks and like chasing that false material pride, fame and glamour. That's the biggest issue, because they want to be something rather than like, oh, I'm pretty good. How I am myself. And I've got my morals. I've got my T-shirt on my back. That's all I actually need. There's this societal thing which has been impregnated into everyone that you have to have a car, you have to have a hot wife, you have to have a successful business, do all these things. But ultimately, that means you have no time, you're fucking miserable, you spend your whole life working, and then when you get enough money to do something, you get sick anyway because you haven't been looking after your health or your mental health or your spiritual health. So it's this funny treadmill we're on and this unwinding of what we thought was natural and normal. And now people who I'm noticing have lost stuff, whether it's family members, children sick, they lost their job, or they've just seen how this is working now. People are now going into like, oh, I actually want to do this. This actually makes me happy. I'm going to start playing my violin again. I'm going to start doing this now. I'm actually going to go to the protest now. You know, I'm going to drop anyway. I'm just going to go. So I'm seeing this kind of beautiful weaving coming up through this chaos. It's like chopping the roots off or chopping a tree down and three more kind of branches spike up. That's kind of what I'm seeing at the moment, and I'm really hoping that people will continue this. And after this protest this weekend, I feel we should have enough momentum now in Australia to be able to make some serious change and do some serious damage. I mean, court cases. I mean, the tradies in Melbourne, as soon as they protested, we just saw massive riots in the street because the men were out. The alpha males were out rather than the activists that have been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years. They're tired. It's like, we're bored, guys. Just can you guys come in and just help us a little bit? Can you just give us a bit of a fucking pep up and bring some fresh blood in, because we need more people? And now that we're seeing the alpha males waking up because they're getting stopped from doing the things they like doing, that I think is a big threat to the system, the men, because this is the bread and circus. This is the Roman games, right? Mm-hmm. Keep them distracted with the television. Give them their food, their poison food and the fluoride. Keep them all dulled down so they don't rise up. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we do rise up, you see the government backs off. That's the cat and mouse you see here in Australia. People rise up and they go, oh, no, we're not going to do a vaccine passport. Then 5 months later, they try and slip it through Parliament at the stroke of midnight. You know, it's like, oh, we're not ready to do it yet. They're actually fiery. We'll wait 6 months, hope they're complacent. We'll give them a few distractions on the way, and then we'll try and slip it in a bit later. So this is kind of the marathon battle, isn't it? This is more of the long run rather than the quick sprint.
Mm. Well, that's a good point. I mean, you have an optimistic note there. I think that if everybody hits it really hard, like for example, when I go to a store and I don't have so many confrontations these days, but probably about maybe 6 months to a year ago, it was very, very bad. So you walk into a store without a mask and there's going to be somebody that's going to walk up to you. You're going to hear, like, I felt almost like it must have been like a black person in the Deep South in the 1940s, segregated South, walking in to and sitting down in the front of the bus, for example. I felt like that. You knew something was, you know, when you walk into a store without a mask, and it's only going to be a matter of time where you would hear some douchebag, powerless person shout out, hey, excuse me, sir, excuse me, I'm going to need you to. Okay, I'm going to need you to, and this, you know, put on a mask. I'm going to need you to stand on this dot. I'm going to need you to remain 6 feet apart. I'm going to need you to is the okay, and I would immediately, because I was waiting for, I don't know, I'm going to need you to educate yourself on what's going on. I'm going to need you to keep your mouth shut. I'm going to need you to understand this is you're a slave. You're a slave to the Jew bankers, motherfucker. And when you did that, when I would do that loud enough in the middle of like a Home Depot or some department store or something like that, because I would get very loud, all right, because I know I would be ready for it and I would be jumped down their throats. When you shock the powerless like that and just explain to them, you are powerless, you don't have any power, they gave you this teeny bit of power and you're going crazy with it, they're going to take it away, it's not going to last, and then what are you going to do? You're going to be back to your powerless state, so you should probably just wake up and find out what they're doing to you before you turn into a total scumbag. And then they get up the phone, they're calling security, and this is invariably what happens. So yep. I'm seeing less of that now. I don't know if it's because, and part of the problem with it is that when I see people try to make when I see us people trying to confront the uneducated, the stupid, the powerless, the alienated, when they confront them, they're doing it in the wrong way. Most people who are even on our side don't have the way really to properly articulate what's going on. So they'll make the wrong case, and it won't work. And so I'm saying that we almost should have like a guidebook that we give out to people, that when we confront these alienated tools of the machine, because that's what a person is who's enforcing this. They're just weak. They're alienated. They're separated. They're isolated. They're lonely. They're poor. They're broke. They're you know, any number of things that they have got them. They're undereducated, that have arrived at the place where they said, okay, now you are the guy who gets to enforce this. And then now they're empowered and stuff. It's probably not that hard to break through that. It's probably not hard to open them up and open their eyes. It's probably not. But the what I've seen of people's attempts at doing that, and even honestly, my shock treatment that I give to them, I don't even know if that's going to help them. That might harden them. But usually, sometimes when people get it's like shock and awe treatment. You know, if you bomb them with the truth like this, sometimes that gets them to think, hey, maybe I am a piece of shit like that guy. Maybe I should look into this. Like I said, I'm an instrument of the Jew bankers, and they're running this whole show. Things that people have never heard before. And you know, when I go through the United States, one thing, if you'd said something like that like 15 years ago, people would screech and run out of the room. Anti-Semite. Now, when somebody tells me to put on a mask, I say, oh, stop listening to the Jew bankers. These people, we should take them out in the street and kill them, right? Nobody's disagreeing with me anymore, even the tools, right? So our language actually is opening up a little bit. People are getting a sense that there's something wrong. People will accept the fact that it's the bankers, it's the money people doing this. And if you give voice to it, and if you give the name to it, not Bolshevik, not collectivist, not Marxist, these are Jewish bankers that are the ones who hold the deeds on your house, that you have to make your payment. They will be the ones that will be evicting you from your house. They will be the ones who own the storage facilities that you will put your possessions in after they've evicted you from your house. Not Bolsheviks, not globalists, it's Jewish bankers. So we are at a rare moment in history where we could pry these greasy fuckers' fingers off of our families and our children once and for all, because this is the safety of our children. And the bottom line is, they have a long-standing hatred for us and our children. That is written in their Torah. That's written in their Talmud. That is written in their Sanhedrin 54. Read it. Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin 54b. Read it. Your jaw will drop to the ground when you read what these Jews are talking about. Oh, it's okay to fuck the three-year-olds. As long as they're one day over three-year-old sex with them, it's cool. You know, 3 to 9, that's fine. This is their philosophy. So we have to hit it hard and be unrelenting. And if more and more people become fearless about it, then what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Throw us in jail? What are they going to do? Throw us, fire us all? Then nobody's going to work. So we have to wake up to the threat. It is a Jewish threat. So that's what I suggest. Yeah. No question about it. 100%. No question about it. Easy to see, easy to prove, easy to demonstrate in our face. And you could just look at the names of who owns the TV networks. Who? BlackRock, Larry Fink, appropriate name. You know, Steven Schwarzman, Blackstone, the big private equity firms. It's just Jew. Television networks, Jew. Jew.
Amazing. So, very well said, Harry. Very well said. Yeah, it's funny. I'm really good at waking people up, and I use a method where I hit them with a bit of truth, and then I joke with them, I pay them out a little bit, then I hit them with more truth, and then I talk to them like I'm on their side. And it's like a little bit of mind control. They kind of like, oh, he's paying me out, but then he's also being nice to me. Then he's giving me some information. Then I go like, you know, I can help type of thing. I have this funny method where I do it, where I'm not actually, in a lot of cases, attacking them. I will come in and they obviously know that I'm well-informed, the way I speak, the way I present myself. But then I also speak to them like, don't you know? Didn't you know? Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. Everybody realizes this now. Well, no one's told you. So I actually alienate them in the way that, how don't you know when everyone else does know? Because that's what the mainstream news is doing, right? Mm-hmm. They're making out like 9 million% of the world's population are vaccinated and everyone's getting their second boosters. Yeah, that's why they're pushing it so hard. The people who don't want to get the vax aren't getting the vax. from day one, they're not getting it. No one else is getting it. They're just those people got it. They're going to get their boosters. They're going to get whatever they're going to do. And all the rest of the people, they don't care. It's done. It's finished. Otherwise, they wouldn't be pushing so hard. They wouldn't be trying so hard and doing all those coercive measures. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be a kind of pretty good little way is to, like, get them on your side, give them a bit of humor, pay them out a little bit, but then also be like, hey, you know, here's a link or whatever, you know. That's a little bit of a, yeah, just an interesting kind of jostle that I do with people out in the streets, because some people are so ingrained in their delusion that no matter what you say to them, they're just going to, they rock up. You know what I mean? And then that person's not worth me trying to wake up. Maybe someone more like them needs to wake them up. So another security guard, maybe they look up to, because it's this hierarchical thing, right? Mm-hmm. This might be this big overweight security guard, but he works with another security guard at another venue who's a massive big bodybuilder, and he idols him, you know? But then you can wake up that guy, the big bodybuilder, and then he will wake up that guy anyway, just by default, because that guy looks up to him. So it's this funny thing where you need to get into different industries and different areas, and the people who are good at what they're doing, people who ride Harley Davidsons, there's an industry of people there, there's a, you know, a MMA fighters, and there's been a weight person there. And I find it all it takes is one person, because when you wake up, you're like a banging drum in the wind, you know, you get out and you yell it everywhere. Everyone, when they wake up, most people aren't quiet. They're like, holy shit, and they want to tell their friends and family. So I feel like it's kind of boiling down to like a numbers game now. The question is, how fast can people keep waking up, as opposed to how fast do these control measures come in? Because they want that 6G, 5G mm-hmm. bullshit going on everywhere, and cameras all over the place, and the social credit score, the, you know, next thing you know, you won't be able to go into the RTA to get your license, the roads and traffic, and your bank account will be fucked and all that. That for me is concerning, because that's going to squeeze a lot of people. But I feel that, like, the line in the sand, even though Australia's been complacent, I feel like people have got the shits now. They're getting angry, they're over it. Like, the conversations I hear on the streets, wherever I go, even old grandmas, young people, kids, they're like, I'm fucking sick of this stuff. I'm done with it, you know, which is it's a good sign. It's like, oh, great, finally we're here. You could have been here 18 months ago, but at least we're here now. You know, we are here now. We're landing now. The realization's coming. No people are dying in the streets. Now, that leads me to my next question to you, Harry. What do you reckon? I was talking to Sasha the other day, Sasha Stone. Had a bit of a chat to him in the morning. And he was saying, like, possibly people's immune systems are degenerating, you know, around 5% every 3 weeks. And that maybe in the next couple of months, 2 to 3 months, we're going to see people basically sitting ducks with a very, very compromised immune system. Do you feel there's going to be a mass culling coming up in a round B of this with an actual bioweapon that people will be dropping dead in the streets everywhere? Or do you feel that, is that what you feel is coming? Or attempted? Are they going to attempt a round two, you reckon?
I think about that all the time. What's going to happen? Because I was early on about the ADE and the pathogenic primate after first hearing it from Robert Kennedy's group. So this would have been in maybe May of last year. And then as soon as I heard that there was this mechanism, this ADE, this antibody-dependent enhancement mechanism, which is this pathogenic primer, which actually, instead of the our immune system repelling these viruses, that in certain instances, in certain conditions, it actually facilitates the entry of these viruses into our bodies and facilitates the mass culling, the death, the pathogenic, the destruction, the organ failure, the organ swelling, and the inflammation and failure. Okay. And as soon as I saw that, I'm a bit of an interpolator. So you give me a little bit of information, I'll generally come up with the whole story here for you. So when I saw that, I said, oh, of course, this is the plan. Absolutely, this is the plan. And so I started hitting it hard. I did a 5-part series on it that Google banned, blocked it off. Because I had a YouTube site at the time. I don't have my I had to say goodbye to my YouTube. Bye, YouTube. I don't miss you, because I always had to watch my mouth somewhat, but I did say a bunch of stuff. But when I did the 5-part series, that was enough. On the ADE, right? Just talking about the science of it. So the question that you asked is, do I think there's going to be a mass death coming? Well, we can already see that they're making moves to provide measures that are going to be intermediary and to mediate that. So we already see the pharmaceutical companies coming out with new drugs in case there starts to be this ADE to try to counteract it. And this is what their new, like, ivermectin-like pill is like, of course. Ivermectin, I don't know enough about the biomechanics of the whole thing to tell you whether ivermectin at that point will squash the antibody-dependent enhancement and all this whatever, the cytokine storm when it happens. That's what I think you were talking about. I think that we're going to see a big problem, and it might be generally this mass death, this cytokine storm, this antibody dependent enhancement. It typically occurs when you're exposed to either the virus in the wild that you're supposedly inoculated against, but moreover, whether there's a slight variation on the virus, hint, hint. Okay, variation. And now, of course, that's what the big thing is that they're talking about in the mutations, the variation, the variant, the delta, the epsilon, all this stuff. So they know damn well that they can introduce an epsilon, a gamma variant, a beta plus plus, whatever, 007, whatever it is. So I think these bioterrorists that are doing this are holding all of the cards, meaning they can release whatever they want at any time they want to either effectuate this mass culling or not, basically. And so it's up to, but I will say this, that absolutely, positively, those I'm one of the people that I can't tell you, because, you know, every time I talk about COVID, 1,000 experts on my say, there's no virus. Okay, everybody's an expert on this except me. I am not. I don't really know whether terrain theory or this theory. I haven't spent years on it. And I do believe it takes more than watching a really cool video and that video convince you that you're, damn it, now I'm an expert. The earth is flat, god damn it. I'm sure of it because I saw a really cool video. Okay. So it's the same thing with whether these things exist. I'll say this. Yeah. I believe that there is something that they spread, some kind of pathogen, some kind of upper respiratory virus. Why? Because I got something, wasn't that bad, but 2 months later, 2 months later, I can't smell a damn thing. You could put a jar of honey, a cinnamon, a rose, or a pile of dookie. I wouldn't be able to tell you the difference of what is what. And I believe me, I test myself every day. So whatever it is, it is following a pattern. So and I was one of the people who was criticizing early on anybody who said, oh, they can't smell. I said, oh, they can't smell because they had the flu. And every time you get a flu, you can't smell. I was the one saying, fuck, it's ridiculous. Until now, 2 months going on, and I have no more symptoms or anything. My nose does not function anymore. So that has at least given me the idea that there's something, and it's following a pattern. Yep. Okay. So for all the experts that have come to my comment section, I'll get thousands of people, oh, didn't you know there's no virus? Yeah, I've only heard that 10,000 times, fuckhead. Shut the fuck up and go. Look, it's I don't even care at this point. You know, there's some shit, right? So the bottom line is that will there be a mask? Look, Here's an interesting thing. You know, part of me, and I think everybody has run this through their head once, and you can verify if it has crossed your mind. But I'm sure, unlike me, I've said it out loud, but I'm sure everybody has ran it through their head once that, okay, maybe a culling of the population is a good thing. You know, every time you go into a store and somebody fucking starts yelling at you, you're like, well, you know, hey, did you get your shot? Yes, I got my shot. And I'm like, that's cool. Great. Good. Good luck. So there's part of me. Yeah. Right. And then, so then you put, because you know, the word that they're using is the word resilient. You hear that? If I had a dollar, if I had a nickel for every time these two bastards said the word resilient, you know, because that's the new world order term, right? Well, part of resiliency now is avoiding this Jew poison, right? So that's actually a test of your resiliency. And so I don't know if it's just the dumb luck of irony, or the I don't know if it's an accidental irony, or if it's like some intentional like methodology that the dark force I'm leaning towards unintended irony, right? Because I think they're sloppy at everything they do. They want to kill us all, but what they're doing is they're culling the dumbest fucks in society and leaving the toughest like to survive. So they're fucking themselves up, because they're gonna end up with a bunch of people that'll eventually gonna come and kill them all when all the dumb fucks are dead. Now, have you ever wondered? Have you ever put that through your head, Neil? Because I know I have. Don't tell me you would never thought once that it might be a good idea to call these.
So many of my mates are pretty awake, and we have these conversations, and I laugh, and everyone's like, you shouldn't laugh. But I'm like, hang on. Like, maybe the dark forces are actually the good forces, and it's one big giant lesson, and it's just literally an unnatural selection. Rather than natural selection from nature, it's an unnatural selection, you know? Because it is what it is. Like, if I think about all the people I dislike, I'm like, well, that person's not going to be a problem in 4 years' time. That person's not going to comment shit on my page anymore. That person's going to be dead. And it's like, property market's going to be better. I'm going to buy more properties. There's going to be less people in the surf. I'm going to get more waves.
More food for us.
I don't know. Like,
hopefully have some hot babes. Hopefully all the hot babes don't die, right? So,
you know, so many vaccinated hotties happening at the moment, unfortunately. It's happening everywhere. Because they're all the Matrix, right? They're on the Kool-Aid. That's why these materialistic people who spend their whole lives in the gym looking at themselves in the mirror and putting Botox in their faces, which is not really natural beauty, but they're the ones that are going to run for the vaccine, so they want to get their mocha latte. They want to go down and have their coffee. I want to get back to normal. I want to travel. And it's like, fuck, it's the weirdest thing saying people want to travel, you know? I have this kind of philosophical conversation around, you know, holidays. This thing called holidays, it's like, you spend 98% of your life thinking about your holiday, which you get 2 weeks if you're fucking lucky, if you work your ass off. So the whole entire time during the year, it's like you're thinking about this time. So you're not being present. You're not enjoying the time that you're working and doing all these things. You know, it's a half cup full, half cup empty type of a question, you know. Can I make my life into a holiday as opposed to having to escape for 2 weeks of the year and get written off, do all this stupid shit, then come back and have to recover, then back into the slavery system? It's like the whole idea of a holiday is like a holiday from your slavery. You know, it's this strange kind of conversation where it's like, why don't we all together create heaven on earth? It's going to take a little bit of work. We might have to give up some of our selfish behavior for maybe 2 or 3 years. Maybe you're not going to go to the footy for a while. Maybe we're going to have to focus on doing things we don't actually want to do, because we have to do things to create change. Even if you're just composting your food, you have to fucking do that. You got to take it in a compost bin. You got to fucking smell it, you know, get the fork in there and flick the shit around. And there's a process, but ultimately you're helping the planet. You know, this is that thing where it's like, how much effort do you want to put in for an outcome later? It's like going through the shit now to have a better world later. That's, I think, what we're at now. And people are at the point where it's like, right, I'm going to homeschool my kids. That could be a fucking punish. But also that might be actually really beautiful, have a better relationship with my children. And they're not going to get some bus pull up in front of their fucking school, and all these kids are going to get taken to some vaccine camp, which is like they're trying to pull that shit off in Australia, you know? Or it's, okay, these shops are not supporting life. They're anti-life. So what we have in our area now, we've created these big green hearts, and all the businesses around our area, which are not Nazi compliance, they basically get this green heart, and that says, hey, we don't discriminate, basically saying, come to our shop. We're not going to hassle you. And now these shops, their businesses are pumping, because no one wants to get hassled. I don't want to see a vaccine passport. I don't want to be asked any fucking questions about anything. I just want to buy my shit. And I want to leave. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to fucking have that conversation, because it's a fucking stupid conversation, you know? So we're seeing businesses go down, businesses rise up, people banding together, people buying seeds, people starting to move into communities, people going, hey, I want to live off grid. Hey, maybe we should get away from these fucking phone towers. Now, Harry, this is going a little bit woo-woo, but do you reckon now that technology is inside people, do you reckon they can give that technology a tickle with the 5G, and that might be enough to lower the immune system, and that is actually the virus, or the, you know, the whatever?
Well, my friend, you have just said it better then I have I've been trying to explain it, but you have actually done a much better job. You said, do you think this technology could give a tickle? Right, and this is what I've been saying, but not precisely with that word. And thank you for that, because now I'm going to use that, and I will credit you for it. Okay, absolutely. I always credit people when they come up with a good term. That's exactly what it's going to do. What I would say when people would ask me this question, I would say, look, the technology is not there to construct a complex self-assembling nano machine in there that's going to go in and start reassembling and doing all this, but it is at the point where it could give a little tickle to whatever the carbon nanotubes that they're putting in, or the graphite and all this shit. So that is the perfect way to describe it, is to give a little tickle to it. And yes, to activate something that can cause harm. I did see some evidence of self-assembly, but not into any cohesive, operatable machine, but into something that could just clot things up, stick, cause harm, and cause clots. Yeah. So they're not, it's not like surgical precision. It's more like a sledgehammer. But yes, I agree with that. It's exactly what the 5G can do on an individual level, is provide a tickle. So I will give you credit for that as I milk the shit out of that new term. Yeah. But you know what it is? You know what it is? What it is that, you know, I would go along with a lot of things that a lot of the idea that there needs to be changes in our relationship to the environment, changes on our relationship to the diet, changes on our relationship to everything. I'm for that. Right. But the Jew bankers is the ones being in charge with Prince Charles and Klaus Schwab. No, that's absolutely not the ones who are the stewards of this change, because these are crooks. These are total criminals, and they don't have our best interest in mind. They have only the consolidation of wealth. And that's what this has been. This has been this massive upward movement of wealth, this consolidation, this asset stripping. COVID is an asset stripping operation. As there's this awakening that we described, that people are waking up, they're accelerating it and trying to move every quicker. So as we find out, no, this thing is just not that big of a deal. Everybody survives it. And if you take some vitamin C and zinc, you're fine. Oh no, now it's all of a sudden a huge crisis and everybody's got to lock down. No, actually, we're discovering that you were full of shit all along. And so as we are awakening, they're trying to bring it down. I say it's time for people to test the court systems. I'm shocked that people who are not getting fucked up aren't just simply filing lawsuits and testing the system and hauling these fuckers into court. There's got to be some judges and juries that'll say, I mean, if you still have juries of your peers, well, if it's a peer of 12 people, 10 of them know somebody who got fucked up by the vaccine, guaranteed. So time to start taking them into court. And I'm surprised that people haven't been doing that. I just think people, maybe they just don't feel that they can or something. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. It's initiation, Harry. It's like people think, oh, go to court, shit. Like maybe someone else should do that. And it's not until you do it and realize that, you know, hey, you can actually navigate it yourself. It's one of those things, and until you do it or you have the balls to do it. Most people do things out of inspiration or desperation. They get pushed into a corner and they're desperate, and then they fire back. Or they're so inspired to do things because they've created such a good life for themselves, as opposed to, you know, run-of-the-mill, struggling to keep your head above water and not really motivated in an average relationship, those type of things. It's kind of that push-pull where a lot of people are in the gray area where they're just getting by, you know. Now, what you're saying about the 5G, they've been putting towers up around our area and we've been protesting as many of them as we can, but there's not a big pushback on some of the places we thought there would have been. We've been really good at blocking this area near my place. But a lot of my friends who live in the area, since they've installed the 5G, must have been a couple of months ago now, they say that their sleeping patterns changed and they're getting up at strange times of the night, hearing a bit of a buzz in the ear, and yeah, kind of strange things like that, not feeling replenished, twisted dreams. And I'm just like, I was supposed to interview Harald Krauss-Weller last week. Do you know him? That scientist from Germany, 13 different degrees. And he's probably the world expert on nanotechnology, geoengineering, Morgellons, and all very, very out there stuff that he's been talking about for 20 years, which is all kind of coming into fruition now, but also a very lovely, connected spiritual guy too, not just a brain scientist, actually a deeply connected scientist, which is very rare. You know, he's got that balance of the both worlds, which is why I love him so much. But some of the statements he made many years ago, like I feel like they're kind of happening now. And I'm actually a little bit concerned about having the next interview with him, because I actually want to hear it, you know, because I know that it'll sound like a science fiction movie like Star Trek on where we're headed with this, you know, the geoengineering crap has been blowing on us and in our mouths and in our food and our hair for however long now, the heavy metals and these strange contaminants. The question is this some sort of a weird upcycling into artificial intelligence? Is the 6G going to create this Skynet around all of the Earth, and we're literally going to be linked up to some metaverse fucking artificial intelligence thing where, you know, like that's the thing I don't want to be part of. Now, a phone tower, I can avoid it. Fluoride, I can filter my water. Vaccine, I can tell someone to fuck off or they come to my house or shoot them. But when it comes to frequencies that are hitting me and I can't stop it, that is like, for me, like that's fucked, because no one wants that shit. No one's even asked the world, hey, do you guys want 5G? No one even cares. Like, the 4G internet's totally fine, and it's bad enough for our health, let alone whatever this next one is. And I feel personally that the 5G, which is on now, is just a litmus test. It's a trial little pretend one where they're like, oh, yeah, it's just for internet. But really, the real one, whatever they do, whatever frequencies they dial in, that will be when shit goes wild. And they want it everywhere, so no one can draw a conclusion. Oh, all the people that are living in the northern New South Wales where there's no phone towers, they're not getting sick. What's going on there? I feel like it has to be everywhere, so there's no conclusions that can be drawn. And that's why they're so obsessed with getting it in all over the place. Is that happening in New York? And what do you feel about the, you know, the woo-woo-ness of what 5G and AI could be?
Well, let's talk about a little bit of a solution here. Take a look at that. Can you see that? Well, that's $10.95 on clearance, right? Okay. That thing will take a tower down in under 5 minutes, all right? Those towers are steel. So with a five-pack of grinder blades is $4.95, right? Now, this is a cord one. This is only $10, right, at Harbor Freight. Real good deal. The Chinese, thanks to the Chinese. Okay. The bottom line is that, you know, people, that imagine, if you will, that we had a sort of like a folk kind of like a kind of a, I don't know, a tradition. Maybe that a tradition came up that everybody competed with each other to everybody competed with the most stylish way to take these fucking towers down. Right. And that it became so expensive for these fucking chump ass scumbags to infiltrate our bodies like that, that it just like the insurance companies that have to now insure the companies and the amount of guard fences and guards they have to put up, it became so expensive that the people just didn't adopt the technology anymore, because, you know, because there's also things called slingshots. There's also things called, like, I mean, of course you're in Australia, so you don't have these things called guns, but guns are great for that. But there's drones. You can have competition where you have your camera out and people have fly the drone up to it. It's got a half a stick of dynamite on it. Boom! You know, try to make sure you don't harm anybody, because then it's terrorism, right? So, you know, don't harm any. But stylish ways. If it became a way that, hey, look, baby, look. If it became a way to get laid, right? That if kids decided, hey. If you took the tower down and you got the girl or boy of your dreams, hey, that might be a solution. Okay, so but to get serious,
everyone's TikToking in front of the tower burning. Everyone's doing TikToks like towers and burning behind them.
It would be so cool if it became like a tradition that that was with the children, that the children did it too, and we all did it, and we all participated in it and celebrated it and posted it, and we had masks on so you couldn't find out, so the cops couldn't come and arrest you, but we all knew secretly who it was that was doing it. This would be a beautiful society we lived in. So that's a fantasy, right? So in the real world, yeah. Yes. The 5G is there as the closest thing, because, you know, these regular cell towers, they have to triangulate you from a long distance away. But with this 5G, you have right outside your window one of these things. And I know that they put them up down in my area. So there, every house has its own transmitter in front of. Oh, that's good. So that they can, so that there's no way that you can have deniability. This is ultimately tracking. It's a tracking and tracing system. So what is the answer? I mean, you know, a lot of people, I have them in my family that they will never be able to. They will never be able to understand the threat. Some people just will not understand. They'll look at it as, it's convenient. I mean, look at how fast how much faster can you get your Facebook? You spend your time on Facebook. And so you don't need a 5 gigahertz network to give you your goddamn asshole friends updates. You could get that on a dial-up if you needed to. Okay. Well, what's the answer? I don't know. I mean, the answer is awakening. Again, there are so many different angles that these Jewish cartels are coming at us from, a technological angle, a political, a military, a biological now, you know, a bioterrorist angle. So many angles that you can, for someone like me who's been dealing with this for 35 years now, for there's so much of this different bombs coming in from all angles that the only thing I think I can do is try to just change the person that's on the receiving end. And instead of constantly addressing all of these, I do that on behalf of addressing like the FBI and stuff like that to try to get them to do the job. I do the job that the FBI is not doing. And I try to make reports that they can use. And hopefully that there's people in military intelligence that will take my work and act on it. Okay. So that's why I do the particular detail stuff that I do. But then the overall general universal stuff is about reaching the person and getting the individual who's at the receiving end of this to understand what they're up against. And that's a bigger task, but it's a worthwhile task, because the bottom line is if they go down, they're taking us down with them. So ultimately our own safety is tied intricately tied to our ability to wake these people up. It's not an impossible task, but it is a very tiresome one. It's demoralizing when you try your best to reach people and they just, you can see that they don't want to hear it. So it's a job that we all have to do. And, you know, I could see that you're doing it because all the things you've said tonight are very thoughtful.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. I really appreciate that. Now, I just want to ask one more thing before we go. We've done about an hour. It's been a really good interview. I'm so glad you've come on, and I really want people to get onto your pages and all the rest of it, and we'll give you a shout-out at the end for where they can connect with you and if they can donate or they can share your stuff or whatever. I'd love to help. My whole thing is cross-pollination. If there's someone good and someone else, they should meet and they should work together, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's, like, do you reckon that... it's all about money, right? This is all about money. How much fucking money can you possibly need? And what is being done with it? Like, is this money being sent off world? Is it fucking building some land beyond the ice ring? Like, what the fuck is all the money for? When you have trillions of dollars, I don't even understand. Like, and how exciting could it be to have every bit of money in the world? No. I would be like, well, this is fucking pretty boring now. Maybe we'll try and fix the planet. And then what happens when you start fixing third world countries? They don't have 8 kids anymore. They have 2. Then you just have all these normal people doing their things, and they can do what they want. We can do what we want. And there wouldn't be an issue. Some part of me is like, I get it. They fucking worship owls. They worship all this stuff. They're connecting with fucking interdimensional beings and doing all this crazy shit. But I feel like, I don't know. I'm just like lately been thinking about the money side of it, where the money's obviously obsolete now. Like, they've got all the money in the world. They don't need any more money. So what is the last final plan? Is it just depopulate the world because they haven't gone through the bioregenesis process? They're not going through their awakening. They've chosen to sacrifice, and they've chosen to use blood and ritual and all this crazy black magic. So they're just going to try and wreck and destroy as much as they can while they're here. Like, what's the end game, are you feeling, for this situation, this reality we're in? Or is it one big lesson just for us to learn from?
Yeah. My feeling is that it's as much about money, but they're all intertwined, power and control. These three are intertwined for sure. So money, power, and control. And now it seems to be more about power and control because they've already got that money thing taken care of. Now, in terms of the ritualistic aspect of it, which we see throughout Hollywood and which we're seeing in the ruling power structures and stuff, what it is that they give these, like, the, you have to divide them up. So the Hollywood types, they give this sort of almost like it's Freemasonic sort of methodologies. It follows the same kind of Freemasonic ritualistic hierarchies, but it's actually more like a sexually oriented, like a sex magic type stuff rather than the full Freemasonry thing, which would be boring to these Hollywood types, you know. And what it is that these people are not that well put together intellectually, the Hollywoods. So when they introduce the sex magic and the money and the contracts and stuff like that, it gives these people a feeling that they belong to something and that they see the rewards coming and they're offered the sexual favors that come with it. Not that they probably couldn't have it even if they were just stars, but it gives them a way to feel that they have like a secret kind of taboo that they all participating in. Plus, it relieves them of responsibility for being a moral person. So a lot of things that you could do, you can then blame it on that, that you're participating in this satanic thing that some may believe in it and some may participate in it just for the treats. Okay. Whereas now this is the Hollywood and the music business. And so I don't believe for 1 minute that a douchebag like Jay-Z, who's been seen in all these ritualistics by this giver of the sexual magic, this Maria Abramovich, which I think they should have chosen a better representative, but whatever, for whatever, she seems to be the mistress of the sex magic for the Hollywood crowd, this artist Maria Abramovich, who's not that special. But, you know, anytime you take a human body naked, put it on a table, covered it in chocolate and have people licking off it, there's some appeal to that with some people. And honestly, you know, if it was all done in good jest or stuff, I don't actually see any harm in some sort of like acting out on stuff like that. People make a big deal out of that stuff, but so long as no one's getting harmed, I actually don't see the harm in that kind of stuff. Okay, let's move up to the billionaire class, right? They're different. They have all the money in the world. They don't need any money. But when you look at the emails that were involved in the Pizzagate, which was real, 100%, 100,000 million, trillion percent, that was real. They try to make it like anybody talking about that is a loony conspiracy nutcase. Well, no, it's not. And when you look at the emails, they're talking about 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds. You know, this is the kind of stuff that is, and the Jewish banking cartels, they have, and they've had this for a long time, this kind of Freemasonic methodology that they give to these people. But for them, the billionaires, they don't believe it. Not like the Hollywood stars, which are just not well put together. I don't say the billionaires are well put together, but they definitely don't believe it. They are engaging in this kind of like child sex stuff because under the auspices of a satanic ritual. So they are relieved of responsibility and they could say, oh, I'm just, you know, when in Rome, you know, when in Rome, they can just say that I'm just, you know, I'm just playing along and everybody else does it. Who's in our little club, our little secret taboo club where we feast on the flesh of young children and stuff like that. It's not me. I'm not an immoral piece of shit. I'm not an immoral monster. No. We're just having fun. No one's getting harmed. Yeah. Bullshit. A lot of children are getting harmed. The ones that I have to participate in this shit. And I do believe it. Do I believe it to the extent that some people are claiming it is? No, I don't think it's this vast network like that. Some people claim it is. I don't think that there's all these underground bases. I've heard so many stuff like that. No, I think it's on an individual level that they are able to compromise people much in the same way that Jeffrey Epstein's Mossad operation with using the 17, 16 year old, 15 year old girls to compromise mostly American politicians, political and corporate figures like Bill Gates, I believe, was caught in that trap. And I think that's why he's doing most of what he's doing now, because I think they got the goods on him. Right. So it's the same thing with these 3 and 4, 5, 6 year olds at the Hillary Clintons and those types at that level. And we have the emails that prove it. I can't remember all the names of them, but it's a pathway that when I go down, it's a I have a lot of work to do. And every time I tried to assign this to other people to just do the reports and give it to me, because God, every time I have to go read all this shit again, it sucks. My life sucks sitting there going through this shit, you know. But I believe that it's true. It's real. It's a way to compromise people. It is like Eyes Wide Shut, that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's a big club that they could say, yeah, you know, we do it, but you know, all our partners do it, and so it's not immoral. It's not us. It's the satanistic thing. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, money, power, control, sexual magic. You know, and ultimately, it's these old dying geezers. Hope they can get their flesh. They get their fingers. They're all rotting, dying old billionaire Jewish fingers wrapped around the bodies of young children. So we better figure out a way to stop that.
Amazing. Well, that's very well put, you know, because there's so many different perceptions out there on why this happens, because I guess it's ultimately because we can't really connect to it. It's so not in our reality field to, like, why? Because it's like, why would you? You know, we're just most people here. They want to have a little house. They want to have a wife and maybe some kids. They'd like to go on holidays. They'd like to have a job that they find pleasant, you know, hang out with good people and explore Earth and do things like that. That's a normal, I guess, reality here on the planet. So it's so far-fetched for people to even grasp these ideas that's even going on. Like the pedophilia thing came on so strong in the last 5 years, you know, with Isaac Cappy and Jeffrey Epstein, and obviously Fiona Barnett put out some very powerful testimonials here in Australia. She wrote the PDF called Eyes Wide Shut, I think, or Eyes Wide Open. Very graphic and horrible, couple hundred pages, if you can even read through it without feeling sick in the stomach. You're doing pretty well. So, yeah, it's a weird polarization of, I guess we could say, good and evil, or is it just experience, or is it just energy flowing from here to there? But one thing's for sure, this is exciting. It's an exciting time to be on Earth. It's an exciting time because if you want to make change in the world, you can. If you want to start a company that puts food in the mouths of homeless people, you can do that and people will support you, because there's so many people who aren't stepping into the leader roles. There's this massive vacuum where people are like, yeah, if you do it, I will follow you. If you create this, I will be part of your team. So I feel like this is like my final words for people out there. Whatever you want to do right now, do it. If you want to be in activism, get out and do it. If you want to start making videos, do it. If you want to letterbox drop and do beautiful memes and banners and things like that, this is a time where artistic creativity is necessary, because the world got very serious in the last 18 months. People lost their playfulness. They lost their things which they thought made them happy. People have been stuck in their houses with their wives and they're bashing the shit out of each other because they realize their relationship actually sucked in the first place. So there's a massive undercurrent of awakening here, and also a massive undercurrent of unsurety and seriousness and the unknown. And people are so fixated to having their lives in a little box. And it's like, I need to know where I'm going tomorrow to work. I need to have my whole life planned out, or I'm going to fucking lose my shit. And that, I feel, is part of the awakening process, is trusting in this process, trusting in the divine plan, not knowing where you're going to go, but being okay anyway, not having expectations. So, yeah, I really feel this is a very exciting time to be here. And if we put our intentions in the right position now, if we get a little bit active and we stay tuned in and we keep this pressure on, I think we could actually turn this around very quickly. And also, don't lose sight of the world that we could have. Like, all the cars could be flying now. Fossil fuels and all that shit is finished. We could have free energy devices in every house. The scarcity mindset would be gone overnight. We would turn and terraform deserts into rainforests. We'd put money into projects. We have so much money, technology, people, resources, and ideas that we can have anything. And if we're in a perception-based reality and we're co-creating it and we're the ones creating this reality, our inner frequency maybe determining our external reality, then the most important thing we can do is not watch the fucking news, read books that make us feel good, plant things in the garden, plant ideas in people's minds, look after our inner health, do our spiritual work. When we get triggered and we feel that emotional response in our bodies, feel into that. Why am I being triggered? Is it my jealousy? Is it my insecurity? Am I feeling lost? Am I not feeling acknowledged? Like, let's feel into those things and be human. We're here for a human experience. Mm-hmm. And if we start linking ourselves up to these phones, these technologies, the metaverse, this AI complex, we're already disconnected from nature. You know, they've done a good effort on cutting down the big trees, cutting down the rainforest, poisoning off our water supplies and things like that. We need to be as connected as we can to this earth, to love, to the creator, to our family, and all these things to stay in the highest possible potential of this reality. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we're going to see a very shitty reality, guys. So my final words is focus on what you want to create. 70% creating a new earth and 30% exposing. We have to still expose, but do it in a way that people can understand the information. You deliver it to the person so it's achievable. Don't go talking to someone about flat earth who's just questioning whether they should filter their tap water. Talk to them about water. Just drop a little seed. Drop a little seed, you know? There's certain ways to do it, a little bit more diligence. So, yeah, thank you so much, Harry, for coming on. I knew this was going to be a good interview. I knew you were going to have a lot of beautiful content, and I love the fact that you're a bit loose and we can swear and carry on. Like, that's how I am the whole time. I'm a bit rough around the edges, so it's nice to have another gentleman on where we can have a bit of fun, have a laugh too, you know?
Nice talking to you, Neil. It was a good show. I wish you the best, and you seem like a very thoughtful person. So it was great talking to you, and let's do it again.
Yeah, now, thank you so much. Now, what? Where can people contact you? What are your contact details, website? What can we do to support you, Harry?
I got my Patreon was canceled, shut down. If someone can send a request and I could give the information privately, I still have a way, but I can't make it public. But you can send to info@voxfilm.com, film, info@voxfilm.com. That's my public address. And then just put in the header, because I get thousands of them a day. So if you just put in the header, you know, support something or something like that, then I'll open it up. And then if it's a person that I'll send out a way that they could send me something. But I'm terrible at that. Awesome. So thank you for asking, though. I appreciate it, because otherwise I'll be starting.
Oh, you're so welcome.